This is The Hardline, the greatest show on earth.
Well, maybe just in St. Louis.
Show something to see. Got him lined up and waiting, taking bullets for me. I'm a Mack truck. I'm chucking down a one-way street. You better move, dance. My tank's on E.
The Hardline with TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, John Hadley, Bob Ramsey, and who the hell else knows?
The Hardline, 5-9 The Fan, KFNS, 5-9TheFan.com. I am TJ Moe, former Missouri wide receiver, along with Jonathan Edgar Hadley, former Pattonville expellee, if you will, here on a Friday. Thank you for hanging out with us. Friday, as you well know, boys and girls, it is $5 Friday at Smoothie King. Go check it out. Any regular 32-ounce, just $5. Any 32-ounce meal replacement, just $6. Go put some pep in your step with the new Pineapple Pure Recharge. 170 milligrams caffeine in just a 20-ounce smoothie. And it goes up incrementally from there. 32-ounce is 255 milligrams of caffeine. If you did not know, a premium cup of coffee is about 100 to 120. So it will light you up and get you ready for your day. That would be my suggestion. You're going out on a Friday night? Go check it out. That is Smoothie King. My location, 750 Gravoy Bluffs Boulevard. There you go, John. There you go.
There's no better way. No better way.
You were really craving Smoothie King yesterday.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah. Well,
I don't deny it. Don't deny it.
John, we...
And this is well before I knew you.
No, it's true. It is true. Smoothie King, look, it's really good. It's not like I started a franchise and then said, eh, I better promote this. It's okay. I really liked the product and said, I wonder what it's like to franchise. So that's why that is how that worked. Go check it out. $5 Friday, every Friday across all of the Smoothie Kings in the system. So there you go. Hey, John, we're going to do a quick segment here. Since you didn't show up for the show planning, I plan the show. And I want to open up with some Mizzou, but then I want to get to some baseball talk. And then there's a pretty cool article by Bill Barnwell. On the NFL that I would like to hit in the second hour. But for right now, I want to open up with some Mizzou because you missed what was a pretty good discussion yesterday with me and Bob Ramsey. So, Barstool Sports, as you well know, Caleb Pressey, something, had been able to follow Mizzou football, basically got an all-access deal, which is pretty cool because obviously we know the regular media, Power Mizzou, Gabe Darman, Dave Matter at St. Louis Post-Dispatch, guys like that. Follow everything really closely, but they're treated as the regular media. It's not like the HBO, Hard Knocks thing. This was obviously not like Hard Knocks. This is not a documentary. It was just one guy in Barstool who they let come around and see anything. So he filmed with his iPhone and such, and they had a meeting that Derek Dooley had with the offense, and he was inside, and he actually flipped up his camera, and he wanted to hear it, and somehow the sound that we used yesterday was deleted. So I'm just going to read for you what exactly was said and give you my take on that real quick. And then you can give me your reaction. I think he nailed it. And you being a millennial hater, you probably agree with him wholeheartedly. Here is what he said. He's talking about the facilities, the new $100 million facility. He said, I can't wait to see it. He was talking about, to back it up just a little bit. He said he was talking about Mizzou's facility and how it was really cool. And then he went on to say what was, I thought, fantastic. This is what he said. He said, we ain't winning one effing game because of this facility. Y'all understand that? The secret's out in the dirt. And then he went into talking about something that I love. He said, I can't wait to see it when he went to the Navy SEALs headquarters, which is in Coronado, California, right there, basically in San Diego. And he said, so when he was with the Cowboys, he got to go out there. And so he said, here's what he had to say about that. I can't wait to see it. This must be the best facility in America. He talked about it. He's like, you know, these guys are the best of the best. These are the baddest dudes in the world. And their facility's got to be awesome. So he says, this must be the best facility in America. I walk in, and the first place we go is in the meeting room where they met. They'd watch film, and they'd organize. Concrete floor, metal chairs. Concrete floor, metal chairs. Holy sh! he said. Then I go to where they do their morning exercises. Concrete, nothing else, just a big concrete slab. Then we go to where they really train. It's right on the beach. The water's cold. They've got sand. They've got these rubber boats, a couple logs. And they've got this little obstacle rope course. That's it. The head guy says, all I need is some cold water, some sand, and a rubber boat, and I'll tell you who the baddest dudes in the world are. Dooley says, I'm like, bleep, that's pretty good. And that is what he's getting at, I think, and this is all we saw. What he's getting at, and what I was talking to Bob was, the more comfortable we get, the softer we get, the harder it is to come through in the type of circumstances that would create any sort of conflict. Later in the game, and you hit adversity, and you've got to get the football back, well, what are you going to do? And it's just too hot, and you're uncomfortable, and the toughness just isn't there. I think what he's getting at is, hey, the baddest dudes on planet Earth work out on concrete, and it's not because they couldn't get some federal funding for some carpet. It's not because they couldn't get a little bit of cushion on their floor. It's because they take pride in that. If you ever met a Navy SEAL, I'm fairly close with one of them. The toughest people in the world don't need anything, and they laugh at the guys that do. If you walk in and you're wearing a bunch of expensive clothing and you had to get your beauty sleep last night, John, then they're not interested. These guys go weeks without sleeping. And that's the reality of it. That's how you get toughness. David Goggins, one of the more notable Navy SEALs, talks about callousing the mind. He said, I do something that sucks every single day, whether it's doing 200 pull-ups until I leave, whether it's running 10 miles today, whatever it is, I got to find a way to make sure my mind knows it cannot relax, because you will lose that toughness. And I think that's what Derek Dooley's hitting on here.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's that was a great story and a great job by Barstool, because let me tell you something, that is so true, and it really does translate into everyday life, let alone sports.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is something that a millennial misses out on. Let me tell you something in a serious sense. I'll even refine it down to the simplest of terms. This was 2 years ago, in a town that won't be mentioned, at a network that won't be mentioned, that I used to work for, that you're familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on the set preparing. This is like 5:30 in the morning, preparing to do our work for the studio show. Well, long story short, there was no paper available for the copy machine. So what I did was, from the night before, because we had a Friday night game, was I took all the info that I had printed out and some of the box scores, and I turned the paper over and I put it into the printer. And the three kids that were working for me, all very talented individuals, by the way, but all very young, in their mid-20s, were just aghast. What are you doing? Wait 30 minutes. We'll go up and get a new ream of paper. I said, boys,
that ain't gonna work.
I can read very clearly and by printing on the back of this. Why do I want to wait a half hour for what I can do now? Well, yeah, but it's just like, it's used paper. And I just smiled and went about my business.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you something. The only thing that matters in life is accomplishing your task. That's all that really matters in the end. You could have the most beautiful resume, the most beautiful presentation, but when push comes to shove, and whether it's a boardroom, whether it's laying concrete, whether it's putting up an A-frame, or whether it's stocking at Schnucks, you will be exposed for being incompetent, lazy, or stupid. Unfortunately, there are those who actually have that losing trifecta and are all three. Because no matter what the circumstance is, ultimately, your job is to accomplish the task. However you have to accomplish a task properly, you do. With so many millennials nowadays, TJ, with so many millennials, the first time that there's a semblance of adversity, they freeze.
Yep, that's right.
And shortly after freezing, they give up. for Derek Dooley to tell his team, hey, I'm happy that you think this facility's cool. Hey, I'm happy that you got a sharp locker room. But that's not going to matter when Alabama's smacking you in the face.
That's right.
That's what it's all about. And I can tell you this much right now. My oldest son, you know, was in the Navy for nearly a decade and tried to become a Navy SEAL. He failed because, and you can't literally, you cannot have anything go wrong and become a Navy SEAL.
Mm-hmm.
And his blood pressure went up too high when it came to the deep sea diving. He accomplished everything he was supposed to, but his blood pressure was too high. That's why he got booted. And I would, you know, I was very proud of what he accomplished in the military because he also got his medical schooling and he got out and the kid's making six figures working at a prominent hospital on the West Coast on the heart team.
Yeah.
Preparing guys, sewing them up, everything else for the heart team. Long and short of it is, I would tell that story to people out of pride that my son at least made it through a couple weeks of SEAL training.
Sure. Yep.
Every time I tell that story, he interrupts and says, you're right, Dad, but I failed. I wasn't good enough to be a SEAL. And even if I had passed that test, I don't know that I was good enough to be a SEAL. Those are, and he always jokes because one of our favorite movies is MIB. So he used the old Will Smith line and said, you know, those are the best of the best of the best.
Yep, that's right.
I'd like to think that I could have, but there's no guarantee. My son, who got booted from SEAL training, swears by those guys.
Oh yeah.
So when we sit here and, you know, it's easy to think, oh, you know what, that's a badass. Let me tell you something right now. This country is safe because of SEALs, because of Rangers. You can go right down the list of the specialists in this country. Yep, it's the Air Force and the Navy and the Army that when it comes time to do business, they take care of business. But it's the special troops that take care of business on the front end, providing you that opportunity. And I think what Derek Dooley is saying is, hey, no matter what happens, you got a great facility, you're playing in the SEC, you're on national TV, you got great-looking uniforms. But you know what? Unless the special teams go out and do their business, unless the big hogs in the middle of the line take care of their business, it doesn't matter whether or not you have a Clemson transfer quarterback or you have a potential first-round draft pick. Let me tell you something, boys. We got to win the second team. And when it comes time to show what you're worth, if you can't do it collectively, you'll die individually. And it's a phenomenal message. Phenomenal. That is one of the best speeches I have ever heard a coach give in my entire life.
That was a good one. And you just stole one from Al Pacino. If we do not come together right now as a team, we will die as individuals.
Did Al use my line? Did he?
Al may have used your line. I think you can get some money out of that, John. I do. Hey, John, it is the summer of golf with Michelob Ultra. It is a light beer that doesn't weigh you down while you're golfing. Michelob Ultra, indeed, thanks to Walter's Golf Management, Michelob Ultra, will be giving you a chance to get out on some of the nicest courses in town and try out your game with the best light beer on the course. Starting in August, 5-9 The Fan and Michelob Ultra will be giving away pairs, John, I'm saying pairs, to some of the best courses in St. Louis, including Innsbrook, Gateway National, Fair Oaks, Normandy, and many others, all courtesy of Walters Golf Management. Stay tuned to 5-9 The Fan for your chance to win. And remember, John, when you're out on the course, make sure Ultra is your beer of choice.
Yeah. Anybody who's had a Mick Ultra can tell you that it's a premium beer. And I mean, if Solomon were on the board, then he'd be playing too legit to quit right now.
Too legit.
Mick Ultra.
Well, you can sing it. John, let's hit some baseball on the other side. Would you like to?
Yeah, you know what? Let's talk a little baseball. Let's talk a little, are the Mets as good as they look? Let's talk about, Cleveland, Minnesota, this is going to be game two or four-game set. Let's talk about the incredible races in the American League and National League Central. Let's talk about the Cardinals. Let's talk about the Cardinals and their newest acquisition, Zach Wheeler. Oh,
yeah.
Never mind. Zach Wheeler never became a Cardinal.
No, sure didn't.
Wow.
Wow, wow, wow. All right, hit us up on the old Kinderhook text line. We're back on the other side. It's Hardline.
Hey, this is Andy Strickland. Join Cam Jansen and myself as we tee it up live from the St. Louis AAA Blues Celebrity Golf Classic, live from Forest Hills Country Club, Monday, August 12th. We'll broadcast beginning at noon and bring you some of the biggest names in local St. Louis hockey. The St. Louis AAA Blues have produced the likes of Matthew Tkachuk, Brady Tkachuk, Paul Stastny, Ben Bishop, Clayton Keller, Patrick Maroon, and so many more. Join us as we broadcast live beginning at noon, Monday, August 12th, from the St. Louis AAA Blues Celebrity Golf Classic.
The Seiberg's family of restaurants at Helen Fitzgerald's Irish Pub and Grill is the place to be this summer for live music. All summer long, Seiberg's and Helen's brings you the best live local music and cover bands in the area. Check out artists like Leslie and Scott, Super Jam, Dirty Mugs, and so many more. While you're there, try out the new Bon and Viv Spiked Seltzers with an order of Shark Bites. This summer, make Seiberg's and Helen Fitzgerald's your go-to good time spot. Find a full event schedule or a location near you at Seiberg's.com or HelenFitzgerald.com.
Sundays this August are perfect for one thing, a round of golf at Eagle Springs Golf Course. Each Sunday this month, join them as they celebrate 30 years in business with the best deal in golf. $30 gets you 18 holes and a cart. Get the deal online only at eaglesprings.com now, and you can even snag those much-loved morning tee times. That's the best deal in golf every Sunday in August, just $30 online at eaglesprings.com. And if the traditional game isn't enough for you, Eagle Springs is the only area course always available for foot golf.
For all of your eye care needs, see Dr. Michael Jones at Quantum Vision Centers, 1-866-260-EYES. Dr. Jones is a longtime friend of the press box and practices complete eye care in the metro area. From routine eye exams to LASIK and custom cataract surgery, Dr. Jones can get it done for you. He is board certified in ophthalmology and assistant professor at St. Louis University. He sees patients at several locations in the St. Louis area, 1-866-260-EYES, and when you call in, tell him Frank Cusimano sent you.
Lunch is hard, but Hooters new $9.99 lunch plates make it so easy. Choose from boneless wings, buffalo chicken tacos, the all-new quarter pound burger, and more. Each comes with fries and a drink. Weekdays 11 to 2. Hooters $9.99 lunch deal makes lunch fun again.
In sports, good offense starts with good defense. The professionals at Lakeside Roofing believe in this same motto for your roof. Our full-time service department provides the defense to ensure you get the most out of your roof system. A regular schedule of roof assessment and maintenance is the defensive strategy to extend the life of your roof. Call the winning team at Lakeside Roofing today at 618-344-2800 or 314-241-5253 or visit us on the web at lakesideroofing.com. Choose experience. Choose Lakeside.
Work and get free college tuition. Tune in Saturdays for Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore at 2 p.m. to learn how McDonald's offers flexible hours, benefits, and free cash for your education. Archways to Opportunity, and that's on Cocktails and Conversation on Saturdays at 2 p.m.
Hello, would you like me to find workout classes near you?
There are no stores that sell glasses within 10 miles of your location.
There's enough artificial in the world. That's why Michelob Ultra is brewed with no artificial colors or flavors. With just 95 calories and 2.6 carbs, superior light beer. Enjoy responsibly. 2019 Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri. 95 calories, 2.6 grams carbs, 0.6 grams protein, and 0.0 grams fat for 12 ounces.
We all have a lot of things we're going to do one day. One day I'll change my career. One day I'll get my bachelor's degree. Well, today is the day to be brave, because Maryville University offers more than 30 degrees online, including bachelor's degrees, with no entrance exams and no application fees. We've been empowering students for nearly 150 years, so we know there's no time like the present to focus on your future. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
Welcome back to The Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
It is The Hardline, 590 The Fan, KFNS, 590thefan.com. TJ Moe, John Hadley here with you on a Friday. Thanks for hanging out with us as always. John, you're the baseball fanatic. I'm not that thrilled about baseball as a sport. I'm especially not thrilled by the Cardinals, who... they're up and down. They're up and down, and the Central Division itself gives you the illusion that they can be good, though they may be in first place by next week. That could be the case. The question is, and the perspective really should be given about what happened during the week, and that was against the Dodgers. The question is, are they actually any good? And you have your answer. Everybody upset about the Dodgers series, to me, makes very little sense. The Dodgers were always better. They were always going to be better. Even if the Cardinals made a big pitching move, maybe they would have got a game. But the point is, the Dodgers are very clearly a better team. Flaherty pitched a hell of a game. It turns out Martinez couldn't close it to end the series there. But the point is the Dodgers were always better. You just hope to get them later on in the playoffs, if you do indeed make the playoffs, and then catch fire and go. Those should not be that can't be the team that you're competing with. The Dodgers and the Braves in the National League, and then everybody else. It is the Cubs that you have to maintain better than, and now you're a few games back, and that is the real question. Anybody bothered by this Dodgers series, I cannot relate.
How about if you leave the Hadley Links questions to Hadley? Hmm. Now, everything that you said is true, but now I add just a bit of nuance. Now, there's a couple of the Washington Nationals, because of their starting pitching, assuming that Scherzer is ready to go, the Washington Nationals are another team that could prove problematic. But I will tell you this much. I would be utterly shocked to see any team other than the Braves give the Dodgers a run in the National League come postseason play. I'm not going to rule out the Nats, because if, and again, it's a big if, but if by chance Scherzer's 100 and Strasburg's 100, it's a seven-game series, and in theory, they could wind up pitching five of those games. More than likely four, but they could pitch five. So I'm just saying, when you have Scherzer and Strasburg ready to go, and if they're on their game, they're tough. You know, they're tough beats. But the Braves have the pitching. The question is, are the young arms prepared to go mano a mano with the Dodgers? Now, furthermore, I have gone from believing that the Chicago Cubs are a vastly underrated team that still remain incredibly dangerous in postseason play to believing I'm not even sure if the Cubs are going to make the playoffs, because the injuries that they've had to endure are far more significant. Now, Kimbrel was still coming into his own, but you lose Kimbrel, that hurts. Mm-hmm. You lose Contreras, that hurts. I mean, a number of their guys have already had to deal with injuries and aren't 100%. You know, on paper, the Cubbies look really good. In reality, I may have vastly overrated them. But all that said, TJ, as poor as the Cardinals were on the West Coast, they have to be equally dominant over the next nine games, nearly 2 weeks. They cannot afford to lose any of the next four series. And when I say lose, I mean literally lose. I think they have four with the Reds, two with the Royals, which means they at least got to split those series. They can't afford to lose three to the Reds. They can't afford to get swept by the Royals in those two games. They cannot afford to lose a series, because that stretch coming up after these next nine games is wicked, bro. It is wicked.
So let's do some schedule reading. Here it is.
How convenient.
Here it is. The Cardinals will be at home tonight, 8:15, against Pittsburgh for a three-game series, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They go to the Royals for two, as you pointed out. Then they have Cincinnati for four in Cincinnati. You are correct. This is, in all likelihood, the easiest they're going to have the schedule the rest of the year. Then you get Milwaukee. Now, we know Milwaukee's a different team. When they are not in Milwaukee, they will be in St. Louis, and you get a pretty bad Colorado team as well. So you get a seven-game home stretch, but then you do go to Milwaukee for three, Get Cincinnati again, and then get San Francisco into Pittsburgh. It is kind of up and down, but you have some strong teams. San Francisco, who's been surging. Milwaukee, who's really, they have struggled, but they're a totally different team at home. You get them twice. It can shape your season quite a bit.
San Francisco is in a rough spot. Mm-hmm. By then, the Cardinals could help bury them. Roughly a third of the schedule is Milwaukee and Chicago. Mm-hmm. A lot of Milwaukee coming up, a lot of Chicago at the end of the year. You know, so the Cardinals are in a position to, you know, you, when you're behind one team and tied with the other, you can't exactly say control your own destiny, because one, you're also behind a couple other teams in the East for the wild cards. So,
yep.
Yada, yada, yada. But the Cardinals can go a long way with this remaining schedule in determining their fate, in particular with winning this division, which I didn't think was possible a month ago. Difference is, my belief is not so much that the Cardinals are so vastly improved. It's just Milwaukee's had to deal with injury, and a couple key guys have not come through this year. Their pitchers have not developed as expected. They've had to deal with injuries on their pitching staff. And we already discussed the Cubbies. So it's not so much that I'm thinking, wow, with about a 30-year schedule left, you have the Cubbies and Brewers, you know, the Cardinals are so good now. No, it's just I'm starting to believe that Milwaukee and Chicago are pedestrian,
man.
Just like the Cardinals are.
I think that's right. And if you know, we can look at the schedule, and that is the advanced way to do it. But if you want to know who the Cardinals are, you can just look at some of the stats. You say over the years, we said this a couple years ago. The Cubs beat they finished like 9 games ahead of them for the division, 8 or 9 games ahead of them. And the Cubs beat the Cardinals 8 or 9 games more than the Cardinals beat the Cubs. There it was right there. If you'd have flipped that, then the Cardinals obviously right there with them. That was the difference in the season. And you go look at a lot of the one-run games, you say, okay, well, are they lucky? Are they unlucky? Similar to turnovers in football. Some of this is luck, but they are an average team, and it's what it says on paper. In one-run games this year, they are 16-16 in blowouts, 5-plus run games this year. They are 14-14. Like, this is who they are. In 9-inning games, this is amazing. In extra innings, actually, is where they've gotten a little bit of advantage. In 9-inning games this year, they are 51-51. It's just, this is who they are. They're average. So everybody looking around trying to figure out, well, if they just do this and they just do that, okay, but they haven't. And Matt Carpenter, what did he get? I guess he finally had probably his first game all year, getting on base 4 times. But this is who he is for now. You can't expect anything more. Goldschmidt coming around, good. I hope that's it. But how much has that helped you coming back around? You just, I was reading on Twitter on Wednesday, the Cardinals just went on the road for 2 separate series and lost every game for the first time since 1960. Like, this is just who they are. They're average. They're going to go on a run, and they'll probably get back into first place at some time. And then they're going to come back, and the Cubs will make a run. This is just who they are, and your only hope is to get hot as hell at the right time and make a run.
Yeah, and, you know, the sort of the new kid on the block who certainly deserved the right to get all the attention that they're getting, the New York Mets, I just say, you know, sort of pump the brakes a little bit, because as well as they played and now tied with the Cardinals in the wild card race, The New York Mets might on paper have to play as tough a schedule the remainder of the way as any team in baseball has had to play down the stretch in memory. I mean, obviously having the Marlins in the division helps. But games with the Phillies and Braves and Nationals, and they have a couple big series with, you know, other other playoff contenders. Take a look at that schedule, TJ.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable what they have to do over the next 2 months.
Washington for a three-game set at home starting today. Then they got to go to Atlanta. That's not going to be much fun. They get a little bit of a reprieve there. It's a three-game set with Kansas City. But then they have to play Cleveland for three. They got Atlanta for three again. They got the Cubs for three. A Phillies team that has come back around. Washington again. Philly again. And then you finish up with the middle of September, I suppose, going with Arizona and LA. There is very little reprieve. They get a bit of a reprieve. If they are in contention by mid-September, they get to play Colorado, Cincinnati, Miami, and all in a row. So that's, what is that, a 10-game set where that is their best hope. Game 150 to game 159 is their best hope to get back in it within striking distance, because then they close the season out at home against Atlanta for three.
Yeah, and in theory, every one of those games that we're discussing means something, because Philly and Washington, theoretically, are fighting down the stretch for the wild card.
Sure.
You know, the Braves are trying to maintain their lead in the East, but, you know, as phenomenal as the Dodgers have played, it's not like the Braves are completely out of maintaining home field advantage.
I'm trying to add this up. So they got Kansas City for three. They have Arizona for four, so that's seven. Colorado for three, 10. Cincinnati, 13 and four. So only 17 of their remaining, what is that, 45 games or so are meaningless. The rest of those are pretty much playoff teams or teams that are absolutely leading divisions.
Which is why, you know, if by chance this front office and manager really believe they have what it took, what a brilliant maneuver in getting Stroman to add to that. You know, so now you're throwing DeGrom, Syndergaard, Stroman, and with Wheeler, which we'll talk about in a second. I mean, that's a hell of a foursome. And when you look at that schedule, as daunting as it is, I guarantee you the Mets are basically going four down the stretch. So every game the Mets play, you're going to have to beat Wheeler, who's starting to find himself big time. You're going to have to do it against Syndergaard, against Stroman, and against DeGrom. That's a hell of a foursome, dude.
Oh, it certainly is. And the Cardinals likely could have had one if they so chose to do so.
Well, see, that's what drives me out of my mind with this, you know, and again, I don't like to bang on other guys.
Well, I don't like to bang guys at all, John. Why'd you bring that up?
Well, because it's 2019. I'm not going to judge.
Well, just because I've been married for a year and still haven't done it, you think that means something?
I'm just saying that you're fooling yourself with one of the most lovely women God's ever graced the earth with.
Well, she knew what she was getting herself into. No lies here.
That's right. Yeah. Mama gets some football money and doesn't have to deal with the guy. Now I forgot where I was going to go. But, you know,
you don't want to be banging on other guys. We were talking about
it goes back to this whole thing, you know, where I'm hearing guys say, you know, well, it's Zach Wheeler. You know, Zach Wheeler is Michael Walker. All you have to do is look at the numbers. No, that's not the case.
No.
And the eye test will tell you that wasn't the case. And the eye test will tell you that's not the case. Now, Wheeler, having come back more healthy than he's been in a while, is starting to find himself, and he's had a couple very good outings. Now, again, I emphasize couple. But down the stretch, he's only going to have a couple more to be a real difference. I know this much. I sure the hell would have liked to see him Zach Wheeler pitching for the Cardinals instead of Michael Wacha on the West Coast.
Hell yes. He's got 149 strikeouts this year in 139 innings, and he has a fielding independent ERA under 3.5 three out of his 5 years here. Like, he's doing his part. The Mets just haven't been very good a lot of these years, and so his win total doesn't get stacked up. And yes, he struggled early on in the year, but he's starting to turn the corner here, and you already knew what you've had in Michael Wacha. There have been times where he's been really good early on in his career. Most of the time, he's been largely inconsistent and injury-prone, and this year, he has not showed anything that tells you, you know what, let's just roll with that guy as our fifth starter.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, one, the whole notion of just, you know, basing that trade on, well, it's Wacha versus Wheeler is ridiculous. But more than anything else, if it's really true, and I still have not independently verified this, and I don't know that you have, I don't know if we've seen Hummel or Derek Gould or who's the guy that I like a lot that writes for the Nationals?
Writes for the Nationals?
I mean, I know
the Athletic.
Oh
yeah,
my
Mark
God,
Sexton.
I'm aging myself. There was a a daily sports newspaper that started up like 20 years ago called the National.
Okay.
It was truly ahead of its time and truly a phenomenal publication. In fact, it's I one of the reasons I said the National because I was telling somebody yesterday that the Athletic today is the digital equivalent of the National back in my day. The National was that good. Then they had an incredible array of writers. They went out and stole a bunch of writers. But anyhow, getting back to the point.
I'm trying to find, as you say this, what's what here so far as the Derek Gould talk, checking in with different
guys. I've just never seen it confirmed. But if they really could have traded Bader for Wheeler and didn't do it, it just makes no sense. Yes, there's a real good chance that you have Wheeler for a stretch drive and you lose Bader forever. But is Bader really that important that you're concerned about losing him forever? And you're in the middle. The whole thing is everybody talks about the wild card. The Cardinals, in my mind, have a hell of a lot better chance of getting into the playoffs as a division winner, as vis-a-vis a wild card.
Let's read exactly what Derek Gould had to say on July 31st. He said the Cardinals explored multiple deals for a starting pitcher ranging from short-term additions to pitchers with years remaining on their contract. They approached the Mets about Zach Wheeler, and the asking price was a major league ready or everyday outfielder. The Cardinals balked at the cost of Tyler O'Neill or Harrison Bader.
See, because I am, you know, I will live and die when it comes to reports with Derek Gould.
Yeah, he flat out said it. And he didn't say just Bader either. Tyler O'Neill is Mr. Inconsistent. He, as a lot of people pegged him when he got here, has looked a whole hell of a lot like our boy who Randall Grichuk.
Yeah, I mean, it's I would have preferred keeping O'Neill over Bader, but either one, look, neither one of those guys is going to make the difference down the stretch, and neither one of those guys is going to make the difference in a big series, in all likelihood. Zach Wheeler could have, in my estimation, been a legitimate difference maker, not only down the stretch, but in postseason play. You know, I mean, now the Mets, who have a wicked schedule, who theoretically is they're the talk of baseball right now, but they may wind up a sub-500 team with that schedule, only have a chance because not only did they keep Wheeler, but they added Stroman. Stroman and DeGrom are legit big-time pitchers. Syndergaard's not too far behind, and if you place him as your fourth starter in an old rotation, he's the best fourth starter in the National League.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously. So, look, I will never, ever lack respect for what Bill DeWitt has done for this city. Bill DeWitt has put together a legitimate baseball organization. He stabilized a baseball franchise that was in a state of flux. He's provided us an opportunity to see some of the greatest players of all time. I mean, think about it, T.J. Just in your lifetime, you've had a chance to see Mark McGwire, Will Clark, Larry Walker, Jim Edmonds, Albert Pujols, Mark McGuire, so on and so forth.
You can't keep naming Mark McGuire over and over, John.
Did I do it twice?
Yeah. You saw Mark McGuire and, of course, Jim Edmonds. Well, and Mark McGuire. Scott Rolen was good. And Mark McGuire.
I mean, just think of some of the guys that you've had in that. So not only have you had winning teams, not only have you had World Series, not only have you had division championships, not only have you had NLCS appearances, not only have you had a you've literally had a chance to see some of the biggest names in baseball of their era wear a Cardinal uniform. But I'm just telling you, for literally, and I'm not exaggerating whatsoever, for nearly a quarter of a century, I was pretty much in tune with Walt and then Mo. I completely understood in many ways what they were doing. And even last year, sort of bought into some of the things that they did. I just don't get it this year. You had everything to gain and nothing to lose because you were sitting there, not only in the midst of a legit wild card run and a chance to win a division, but if you had gone out and picked up Zach Wheeler and Wheeler failed, you gave up virtually nothing, and at least you gave it a shot. Let me tell you something right now. If this baseball team misses the playoffs by a game or two because they did not have the pitching to make up for an inconsistent offense, and I still consider it to be an inconsistent bullpen, despite what the numbers say, well, you're going to catch flack because right, wrong, or indifferent, your lack of movement speaks volumes. Speaks volumes because there is no one in this city that I have any respect for when it comes to baseball analysis that thought this team was capable of finishing the job as currently constituted.
Oh, you must not have listened to Cam. He said it.
Unless miracles happen. Because, again, how the hell at this stage can you count on Matt Carpenter being Matt Carpenter? TJ, how can you do that?
Carpenter, Bob Ramsey was talking about this on Wednesday off the air. He may have mentioned on Thursday, too. He was watching an old, maybe it was 2000, whatever it was, 13, 14, whenever they played the Dodgers in the playoffs and have a few times, and it was Kershaw and Carpenter. He's just watching a Carpenter at bat, and he said his hands were so lightning fast. That's the difference. It's noticeable. It's like, you know, when you watch a guy over seasons and things, he starts to slow down, and it's hard to tell. Eventually, you say, yeah, he's a little slower, and, you know, maybe whatever. No, he's like, you watch the old film of Matt Carpenter against Clayton Kershaw, and then you watch him this year, it doesn't look like the same dude.
Yeah, and I mean, it happens, whether it's injury or just lack of, you know, just the old body, you know, starting to give out on you. I mean, that's why I am so proud of myself, because I've pretty much been at the same weight I have for like 25 years. I never had speed, so I haven't slowed down.
Hey, join the club, baby.
You know, so, I mean, but no, in all seriousness, I mean, it's easy to sit there and rip general managers and rip owners and rip managers. That's not what I'm doing. What I'm saying is I don't get it. I don't understand it because I'm phrasing it in a specific manner, because when I say I don't understand it, I don't see what they see. I mean, I just don't see what they see because I can't count on Carpenter. I still don't know what I'm going to get out of Ozuna, because Ozuna is just as likely to have a bad 6-week stretch as he is to have a great 6-week stretch.
Yep.
We've seen that here ourselves. And just as importantly, again, with all due respect, I've called him literally one of the five best everyday players I've ever seen personally wear a Cardinal uniform. At his age and with what he's gone through, are you going to tell me that you're going to bank on Yadi being Yadi? Well, for them to do nothing, I think they're banking on all this stuff, dude. And that's a lot of rolling the dice. A lot of rolling the dice. So, I don't know. We'll see. It begins tonight with Pittsburgh. I mean, ideally, in the truer sense, ideally they win seven of these next nine, hopefully no less than six, but five is mandatory. Five is mandatory because you're really starting to run out of territory. I mean, if this is the Kentucky Derby, they're coming around the bend, baby. You know, they're coming around the bend. The stretch drive is nearly upon us. There is no more time. And when we're talking about half, I want to say that 16 of the remaining games are against the Brewers or the Cubs. You know, as we like to say in hockey, these are 4-point games. You know, so if you're going to slip up there, you can't slip up elsewhere. Theoretically, you want to take advantage against teams that you should beat to give you some buffer if you have an off series against one of those teams. But when it comes to series and when it comes to those teams, let me tell you something. As cool as this National League Central could be down the stretch, as phenomenally cool as it could be, that AL Central stretch drive is going to be incredible too. Because the Twins and Indians begin game two of their four-game series. If you include tonight's game, they still have 9 games left against one another the rest of the year. And the Twins have come back to the pack, and they almost had to because they were playing at such a phenomenal – I mean, at one point in time, they were matching the Dodgers.
Right.
And they don't have the Dodgers' talent.
No.
You know? So the Twins have sort of come back to the pack. But Cleveland has gotten healthier and bolstered their roster, and the addition of Yasuo Puig
and the kid Gesundheit,
whatever you said, and the kid that they got from San Diego has really balanced their lineup. So Cleveland has moved upwardly because they've gotten players back, and they did a nice job of bolstering their roster. Minnesota's still playing well over 600, right?
Minnesota's at 614, and they have the fourth best run differential in the entire majors.
I mean, that's gonna be a hell of a race.
It is, and it's gonna be a great race. Two-team race because the Sox, Royals, and Tigers are minimally 18 and a half games back from the Twins. Fill a bunch of wins in for both teams.
I love late season mano a mano division races. I love them. And it just doesn't seem like it happens all that often anymore. You know, but then you throw in the wild card where I'm not going to count out the Red Sox. Red Sox are like 6 out right now, but I'm not going to count them out because as horrid as they have been, and they have been bad. I mean, this is a team that can go on, a 15 out of 20 game stretch beginning tomorrow. They have that much talent. I'm not going to count them out, but even if you don't include them and you look at Tampa Bay, you look at Oakland, and you look at Minnesota or Cleveland, that's going to be a hell of a three-team race for the two wild card spots. And in the National League, I don't have to embellish whatsoever. You know, I mean, you even have 500 teams that are still theoretically in contention for the second wild card.
Well, yeah,
just a few games back.
The Diamondbacks are the Diamondbacks aren't a real threat, but and they're especially they don't look like a threat because they're so far back. I mean, they are nearing by next week will probably be 20 games back from the Dodgers, but they have one or two wins less than the Cardinals, who are right there in contention.
Yes.
You know, you've got a group here, Milwaukee, obviously. There are three teams in the Central, and if you happen to believe in the Reds, and they did make some moves, who are not too far back. And then, of course, you've talked about the Mets, Phillies, and Nationals, along with the Braves there. There are more teams in it than out of it in the National League.
Well, I will say this much. I once considered myself to be a baseball purist. I bought in to a lot of the abstract analysis early. I'm just not like most millennials or like you. I don't disregard standard old school numbers. There is no way that anybody will ever convince me in any sport that wins don't matter.
I used to have this argument with Eric Messersmith. According to Eric, we should just add up the WAR of every player, and that's who will be champion.
Yeah, because there are guys who make a difference in winning and losing. And there are pitchers who go out on that mound who aren't as good as the opposing pitcher. They aren't as good as most other guys on their staff that just somehow, some way battle through six innings, keeping their team in the game, only to watch their team pull it out in the end. And there are pitchers, see Andrew Kashner, who's starting to come back to earth. Boston picked him up as like the difference maker in rounding out their staff. And he has had three horrendous outings, I believe. Definitely two horrendous outings against pedestrian teams.
You said who now?
Andrew Kashner with Boston. You know, and there's a guy who has a great deal of natural skill.
Andrew,
I mean, he can throw the ball.
Of the family Kashner.
Correct.
Not been good. He's let up six earned runs in each of his last two starts, going 5 2/3 and 5 1/3. He's gotten progressively worse here.
Yeah, damn, that's, so wins matter, because I have witnessed it through the years in baseball with, and I guarantee you have too, with football.
Sure.
With football. And in many ways, until he truly took his game to the next level, Russell Wilson was the perfect example. Russell Wilson was never the most talented quarterback in the ACC, and yet made plays when they counted. Nobody's ever going to say Russell Wilson is Aaron Rodgers, but I'll tell you what, as a professional quarterback in the NFL, he's probably made as many big throws deciding big games as Aaron Rodgers. Seriously. I bought in much earlier than most of many of these new numbers, because in many ways it just adds that extra layer for analytical purposes.
Mm-hmm.
I still believe in old numbers. I still believe in the eye test. But I do believe that there is, in the truest sense, a reason that we should all pay attention to these new numbers. Now, I'd never thought ever that I would be a DH guy, but
here you are.
With the way the game has changed, they've eliminated so much of the old school strategy that I would not be overly disappointed to see the National League adopt the DH, because they just don't play the game the way they used to. So it's almost sensible now. And last but not least, I hated the fact originally, despised the fact that baseball would become like every other sport and taint itself with a wild card. Now I am convinced that maybe the best move that baseball's made in the last half century has been a wild card. So I can never really reference myself as an old school baseball guy.
Mm.
And I have been proven wrong time and again with some of these changes. So
they're right in your wheelhouse. You say something, you're proven wrong, and so you change your mind.
Well, no, what I'm doing is admitting my guilt.
Oh, you feel
and
guilty.
I have been guilty of I no, I don't feel guilty. I am guilty of of well thought analysis in regards to the wild card. The DH, it wasn't until the last few years that the game changed so significantly that DH made a sense. I mean, almost nobody plays to move runners anymore.
Now, it's not in the
nobody,
game.
Nobody relies on the stolen base anymore. It's not a station-to-station game anymore.
It is not. Jenna, I got to cut you off. We got to talk some football here. We are coming up on the hour. One question, though. How upset are you that Pizza Hut is shutting down 500 of their inline locations that came out on Wednesday night?
What are inline locations?
They're not freestanding buildings.
Oh, they're not freestanding buildings. Oh, huh.
Their dine-in restaurants are becoming a thing of the past. So they're shutting down hundreds of their dine-in restaurants there, and they had 7,500. So they're down to 7,000. But 500 is a big chunk there.
Oh, yeah. Well, but again, it's a new world. It's a new day. Yeah, it's hard for me, again, to sit here and be blind to the reality that I now have at what I consider to be a very prudent price, home meals delivered on a weekly basis. I don't even call for, there more often than not, I am making meals at my house that I have delivered. You know, I use a bunch of them. I use something called Freshly. I use Home Chef. I use HelloFresh. You know, and when it comes to, I use Postmates. I use Uber Eats. It's a different day. It's a different dawn. I mean, you're saving time and you're saving money. And people say, well, it's $4 for a delivery. Well, if you constitute going out and driving your car, gas money, wear and tear in your car, your personal time and everything else, no, you're really not. It pretty much balances itself out. So, you know, is there one food in the world that lends itself best to delivery than pizza? I think not, my friend. I think not.
John, I don't know if you've had avocado before, but that's what they're doing out in Cali.
I love avocado.
It's good
mainly
for your skin.
Because
it is.
You know, I love because of my family. I got turned on to avocado, but
I don't say
in LA. I mean, it's just like you know, do you want some bacon with your avocado and eggs? You know. Do you want some meat with your avocado burger?
My wife made a hamburger with egg and avocado on Tuesday night. It was awesome.
Love it.
It was
love
awesome.
It.
So that,
love it.
That you know what sounds good with that? Probably a Michelob Ultra. It is the summer of golf with Michelob Ultra, John. It is the light beer that doesn't weigh you down while you're golfing. Michelob Ultra, indeed, will be giving you a chance to get out of some of the nicest courses in town. Try out your game. The best light beer for the course starting in August, 590 The Fan and Michelob Ultra will be giving away twosomes. Well, I don't know why they call it twosomes, John. To some of the best courses in St. Louis, including Innsbruck, Gateway National, Far Oaks, Normandy, and many others. Stay tuned to 590 The Fan for your chance to win. And remember, John, when you're out on the course, make sure Ultra is your beer of choice. Okay?
There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. I love Michelob anyway, anyhow, any day. But in particular, Mick Ultra. Let me tell you something, boy. You just stick around because I'm going to teach you about a game called football coming up next hour.
Well, all right. I'll be here. I can't go anywhere, John. You would fire me. And, well, I need a job. So, football on the other side. We got about an hour of it. Bill Barnwell wrote a pretty cool article that you are kind of a fan of and mostly, I would imagine, you're just going to make fun of. So we'll see. I'll be back on the other side. It's Hardline.